Bulletin.
Well, the Bulletin's guest of honour this morning is one Sam Ackerman, and you only have to listen to the show once when Sam's on to know his passion for rugby league and for the Warriors in particular. Sam, good morning to you. Not going to go pitch invaders too much on you, although you would have been grossly disappointed by what you saw, because we need to really get back to the reality of the fact that the Warriors didn't get up on a perform on a night where they perhaps left it too late.
Yeah, morning, Smithy. And I think it's been done to death. The only thing I'd say is that if you want real punishment, then I think anyone who's made a pitch invade is kept in a holding cell and made to front the players afterwards and see how they feel about knowing that they stole momentum from a game. Everything else you've heard along the way. So, yep, what ticks me off the most about that is that I'm one of those people jumping up and down saying the NRL should do more, bring more games to New Zealand. Well, it won't happen. It won't happen. It's that the rug's been pulled after Wellington and Napier with their behaviour. So it's, you know, the rest of it's to be said. But as for the Warriors, they definitely left it late. And I'm one of those who have no problems with that last try being ruled out because of it was a stupid play from Pompey. But the fact of the matter is that while they lost, the Warriors still find themselves in a reasonable position in this competition. So we shouldn't start thinking that it's the wheels falling off or it's a massive drama. I know they haven't had a huge run of success of late, but the Warriors are sitting in eighth spot on 14 points. Top spot is 18 points. They're two wins off the best performing team in the competition right now, and they've got 6 points on the bottom place as well. It's that kind of comp. They can move up and down pretty freely, but the Warriors are in as good a position as virtually every other team in the comp. So it's not a bad spot for the Warriors to find themselves, given that they haven't been firing on all cylinders. That said, some of the choices being made by the Warriors right now need to be examined. Yes, they're in the contest. Yes, they're fighting their way back in there. And that's all we ask for any team that flies the New Zealand flag, is that they dig in and give it a go. But they just need smarter decisions. And if I was the coach, I'd be dropping Adam Pompey just to send a message. I think it's pretty important that if you can't keep your head in those scenarios, there has to be some level of consequence. It's not Pompey's first time doing that. He's a decent player, but I think that there needs to be some kind of message sent to the team that if you can't be counted on to make the right decisions, there is something that's got to pay for it.
What about, you talk about the decision making, and I assume you're talking around the last play, the kicking options, etc. to a large degree, Sam. What about the combo? We saw Luke Metcalf come back into the frame after a really impressive pre-season start to the season. The combination with Sean Johnson, what'd you make of that?
Fair to middling, and for the first time out in that session, I'm not particularly surprised. He's played some first grade, and Warriors fans have got big raps on Luke Metcalf. And remember, at the start of the year, I'd say almost the majority, just the majority of Warriors fans were calling for Metcalf to start and Johnson not to be in the team. That's how far, if we go back that stage, people were saying Johnson's past it. We know he's kicked on and he's turned around his fortunes and the team's greatly this season, Johnson. But that's how high people were in Metcalf. The kid's still only played first grade games. So he is still very young. He's still very new, and we can't expect too much of him. I thought he had some nice touches, but obviously there were some that were a little rusty as well. So I'm comfortable for that first game. I think a start against a Broncos team that was not at full strength was a good place for it. I'm not somebody that thinks that the Broncos are necessarily ripe for the picking come Origin time, because they have an incredible legacy of playing the baby Broncos, as they call them, playing above their station during that period of the year. So, you know, that they could hold their own was not surprising against the Warriors. These defeats are frustrating, but I'm still one that casts my mind back to last year, Smithy, and go, I would have taken that kind of loss against the Broncos every day, twice on Sunday last year. So that performance is it's still got enough in there for me to think that this Warriors team's still tracking well.
Sammy, haven't spoken to you since the confirmation that Chanel Harris-Tavita will return to the club, which puts a question mark over the spare playmaker position as such. What have you made of this signing?
I've never known the Warriors to have this glut of riches in a position like the halves. Remember that it was almost like a dearth. They've had a lot of players and a lot of, you know, the squads have been full of half options, but that's because none of them were holding their own in a position. I mean, cast your mind back to there was a period there when like Grant Ravelli and Michael Witt were holding down a spot for a while. But besides that, it's been an ebb and flow of people moving in and out of six and seven. When Johnson was locking down seven, he would have played with countless sixes along the way. So I think that the level of depth in the halves, and you can say with the outside backs now, considering we're still talking about the fact that Chance Dickel-Klukstad and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck are both incredible fullback options, and one of them will go in the centre, and a quality centre misses out. Same with the outside backs. That half glut is unbelievable in my mind. I'm comfortable with Volkman being in the mix there, and we, you know, Tamati Martin's become almost a forgotten part of the conversation of late. I mean, surely he's going to come right back into it when they come in. I feel somebody, and I think that potentially Chanel will be the guy, needs to become that roaming hooker kind of role on the bench, because Havita's got a hit on him. He can tackle. He's got a real high energy there. He can play. He could throw him in the mix in the middle if you needed to as well. So I presume that there needs to be a little bit of development in that way of some of the six and sevens having some nine tendencies to their game. But Jesus, it's phenomenal. He's a great character. I always loved the tenacity he had when he played for the Warriors. That he's back so soon is wonderful. But it's I've never known there to be that kind of stockpile, and I'd love to see a bit more depth maybe thrown in some other areas. But when quality's there, quality's there.
Right, let's look at what's coming up, because that is so important to stay competitive and stay in the eight, and that is the beta side, which has been in the eight since the first round, and that is the Dolphins. We're returning back to a place they're more familiar with, of course. I look forward to this one. I think it's quite mouth-watering for Wayne Bennett bringing his troops.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, it's got a special feel to it, and obviously the inaugural game for the Warriors was against the Broncos that built this kind of rivalry. This is the first time they've played, and that it's happening here. And there's been a real history of camaraderie between the Dolphins and the Warriors, for those who might not follow closely the details. When the Warriors were locked over in Australia, Redcliffe was their base. So the resources shared and the two clubs worked in quite a symbiotic nature, which hopefully leads to a bit of a simmering rivalry in the competitive side rather than the nasty side. But I think these two sides are beautifully matched up for what's to come, and the kind of footy they can both play, I think will lead to a great game. And as I say, if this first game is one that can be that can stand out, it can build another really special rivalry for the Warriors.
Rightio, tomorrow night, Sam, it is State of Origin 1. It is at the Adelaide Oval. So they take it to a neutral venue again for game one. They should get a really healthy crowd. Of course, it's not so much a league state, but they're taking it there. Latrell Mitchell out. First bit of bad news for New South Wales. How do you see this?
Yeah, he's a big loss. He is as Phil Gould would overstatedly call him, he's an Origin player, right? He lifts to that arena. Even if he is not going great at Clubland, he can usually step up and make a real mark when it comes to Origin. He's got a fire to him, the emotion, is not to mention an incredible array of skills. So he's a huge loss, because he has also been in great form along the way. So Stephen Crichton has been in that arena before. He's won grand finals. He knows what he's doing, but he's no Latrell Mitchell. So this is definitely a loss in my opinion, and one that I imagine would be well targeted. But, you know, Crichton has been with the camp the whole period for New South Wales, so he has been training and practicing. He's not some just brought in and suddenly learning what they're trying to do, so that is certainly of benefit. But if Munster and Cherry Evans are smart, and they are, they will direct some big boppers in his direction to make sure he feels under pressure, because there have been occasions where he has been a weak link at Origin level. So I would definitely be seeing a lot of traffickers' way. But outside of that, it's I still love the look of the New South Wales backline. It's very settled. It's very similar to the one that's been successful in the past. Tom Pravojevic is a player who we know what he's capable of when he's actually running around. And I say this with the greatest of love to Manly fans, with a team that's going a bit more decent than the Seagulls, I think that he's got some untapped potential to really throw himself into this game. So New South Wales, theoretically, you'd say kind of are the underdogs, but I'll tell you what, if Queensland had lost a player, they'd be jumping up and down saying, oh God, the world's against us. You know, oh, another thing we've got to overcome. You're forgetting the fact they've got these champion players along the way. So New South Wales, they just, you know, soldier on, get over it, whereas Queensland need to make a drama of everything that, you know, any stubbed toe or anything goes wrong in their camp. So I'm quietly confident, but I think if there's a real area that I look at as a turning point, I think New South Wales may be a little bit weaker, in my opinion, on the bench. I think that the Queensland bench is incredible. Like Jai Arrow and Ruben Cotter, just they love to get in there and roll their sleeves up when it comes to Origin. Big Tino and Harry Grant as well have achieved so much already as rep players. I mean, imagine the luxury of being able to tell Harry Grant, you're not capable of, not, we're not going to start you in this this arena. That's how well stacked that Queensland side is. So it's really well balanced, really, really on a knife edge for me. I can't confidently sit here and tell you who I think is going to win, like, not with the knowledge, but I certainly feel that that New South Wales have got a little bit of fire in them. And the player I'm probably looking at the most from either side, Hudson Young in the second row making his debut. This is a bloke that a few years back served two suspensions in a season for eye gouging. He's got a bit of grub in him, and how he responds to that in the Origin arena, I'm really interested in. He'll be well matched by Tom Gilbert, who plays the same way for the Dolphins and for Queensland. So when those two cross paths, if they do, I'll be sitting there with a popcorn smoothie.
I'll bet you will, Sam, and I look forward to chatting to you about it at some point in the near future as well. I can't wait for it either. Big advantage to win that first game. Hard to come back from 1-0 down. So we'll look forward to that with relish, and of course the Warriors and the Dolphins next weekend. It's 3 or 4 days of fantastic league coming up. Sam, brilliant to catch up with you, mate. Thank you for summing that up for us, and have a terrific day.
You too, Smitty.